Really nice. I recommend it.
Sylvia was in Antigua.
I was. Why do you guys are hiding me?
So, we have our output here. And we have only 5 correlations this week. So, I think Laura gets the award for the the high correlations.
With Leia. And I don't know if you remember, last week Leia and I were paired as well. So, we'll see if that keeps going.
So that's
going.
A potential natural pairing.
Did
you
work
last week,
Deborah? Oh, yeah.
Oh, was Sylvia last week with you?
Yeah. I think first week, Sarah, then Lauren, and Sylvia.
So you're not.
So I'm not really consistent with anyone.
You're not being very faithful to that.
He's very promiscuous. When it comes to his reliabilities. All right. So I made a note of that. I'm kind of half looking at that, but I'm just kind of hoping that everybody kind of gets up to meets a certain criterion level of reliability. So, let's see. You guys don't have printouts because the printers weren't working. So,
I got an extra copy of the cards.
Of the cards?
Yeah.
The packet.
Yeah, we can share this on this end.
I'd like copy.
Share.
I want to take your copy.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
You mean one to keep or one
no,
to...
No, just so that when you're talking about a particular item...
For the
like,
meeting.
I don't, right.
Oh,
I don't
for
have
the
to
meeting.
Ask, like...
Okay.
Yeah, I bring mine to the meeting. I might have an extra one at home.
Well, are you the only one who wants an extra copy or do other people want that
I
too?
I can share. I'm fine.
Is this online anywhere on like the website? Or
I can email it to you.
Yeah, maybe I can just print it out of my.
Here, I can do that right now.
Okay.
So is it okay if I email it to you? All right. So. I have mine in the computer.
Never removed it from the computer, so I wouldn't forget.
Are you giving us new ones?
Yeah, I'll give you new ones today. I'm trying to like keep them separate right now, so I don't get them mixed up. But I'll take the old ones back so I can move them.
I forgot. I can drop it off.
Well, it's not like a big emergency because I have that sort of information to buy. So if it's can I bring it next week?
Yeah.
But I definitely have some extra. It's not like a straight turnover.
I could drop it off like earlier.
Jeff, when we my parents the future videos like vlogs, are they gonna be like in sequential order? Or are they like going to be like random?
Probably. I mean, don't worry about it. Just bring it to next meeting.
No, they're gonna be random.
I've got enough copies.
Definitely.
For everybody today, and I've got enough.
Definitely random, so that people don't identify patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Over time. So everybody now has a copy of the CPQ, a digital copy. All right. But for this meeting, you can look on after mine. So are there specific items that people want to talk about? I have the video.
Like item related questions. But I haven't looked at how we compared, but I just have like content questions.
Okay.
One that's always confused me is item 3. I guess I'm just confused as to whether that means I'm asking him a lot of questions that would require him to reply, or whether I'm actually like telling him mantras to say like. Mm-hmm.
Which item is this?
Item 3.
Item 3.
Thank you so much.
I like where that's like the adult one was like the therapist is like saying, was it like that room or something like that?
I like that there's examples there under characteristic, but one of the examples is something like, can you talk about that, which is a really like sort of non-directive thing to say, and I would say that that's pretty characteristic of many of my sessions, mm-hmm. and I usually put this item high because I do ask him a lot to talk because he doesn't spontaneously talk a lot. But then the second example is telling him to say to himself something like, know, I'm a brave girl, I can take care of myself. So that's very, you know, at least for this session and for many of the sessions, kind of uncharacteristic.
That seems kind of CBT-ish, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I wonder if both of those, the two examples under characteristic, one seems more dynamic and one seems more CBT.
Yeah, well, I think what Sauce is trying to do is to cover all her bases.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that the card could be either.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, right. So in sessions, which is most of them, when I do say, you know, can you talk more about that, tell me more, that would be characteristics though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I had a question on number 53, I think it was.
Yep.
So... Also, it was a general question, not about this session specifically, but I thought that play is supposed to kind of, like, convey.
Let's see, 1, 2.
Oh, it's an AAR. Shouldn't that just pop right up?
Yeah, it depends on the settings you have on the computer.
It did the first time I played it through.
I heard you saying. You thought I said, oh, instead of hello? Yeah. What do you think that meant? Oh,
Now, I think anytime you repeat what he says and you lilt your voice up, mm-hmm. that's encouraging patient speech.
Yeah.
I would say you do it a lot.
Yeah. So, would you say that's different? Like, with the adults, would you say, knows more?
Yeah, tell me more about that.
Like this.
So anything like that. Oh, and that eye is going to be higher.
Let's see what people do with it.
There's also another one that talks mm-hmm. about asking them to like elaborate or clarify or something of that
that's
nature.
That's what gets me confused, because I thought those items, like, I was confused. I was like, is one of these supposed to be more like the sort of non-directive questions, and one supposed to be more like telling him things he could say, like, to cope? Or, you know, I'm just... But I guess both kind of encapsulate all of that.
Right, because this one says not simply general exploratory comments and questions. It would be like, that's a lot more of what...
Oh, it says
you
not,
do.
Yeah, not simply general exploratory comments and questions.
Which item is that?
The one I'm talking about.
Still 3.
What do people do with this? Leia in 7, Laura in 6, Giacomo in 9, Shoshana in 7, and Dustin in 9.
After having this conversation already, I'm thinking, like, I would
agree with Dustin and Giacomo, I think.
Yeah, if it's a...
You're doing that
if
a
it
lot.
It encapsulates all of that.
Yeah.
I thought, because I took more like the second example, like encourages child to talk rather than act, like that would be like, you know, almost like strengthening defenses or, you know, more like what that kind of card is saying. So, So with that in mind, though, that it can be broader than that, I would agree with like an 8 or 9.
I'm not sure I understand the distinction of what it's not.
What it's not?
It says here, and not simply general exploratory comments and questions.
Oh. Well, if I said, why do you think your mother thinks that way? That's different from comments, just getting the patient to verbalize just in general. I mean, any kind of question doesn't fit under this. It has to be a certain kind of a question that's designed to just elicit verbalization in general.
Yeah, like if I asked him a yes or no question, it probably wouldn't
right.
do what this card is talking
right.
about.
But when you say something, oh, so you thought I said oh? You're really getting him to just facilitate the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You're not asking him anything specific. You're not trying to get some information out of him. You're just trying to get him to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the distinction. General exploratory comments would be like, you know, why do you think your mother hates you? That's an exploratory comment. But when you say, like, so you thought I said, oh? You're just getting the child to verbalize. They're having trouble getting started or talking just in general, and you're trying to get them to get jump started.
So what do you mean by blank would be this also?
Not if they're already talking. Like if they're already, you know, a patient could say something like, you know, I went to the beach and I collected seashells. Oh. Well, what do you mean you collected seashells? Did you have a bucket? Did you put them on display? That's just, you're trying to get more information. But the patient clearly is already speaking and they're off to the races. This item is designed to, I think, capture a generally silent patient with a therapist who's trying to get the patient to talk and come out of his or her shell.
Yeah, I can imagine with a child that spoke more spontaneously and filled the whole session with speaking, that this card would just necessarily be less characteristic because the therapist wouldn't need to.
Right.
And they would ask more exploratory questions, and the questions would be more targeted because the child would be producing on his or her own.
Right. Also, if you want to look at the uncharacteristic direction, the therapist does not actively encourage child's verbalizations. Now, you typically put that, if that were true, you typically put that in like in a 2 or a 3. Can anybody think about what's in what situation you put this card in pile 1? Now you guys should, Sylvia and Giacomo should be able to answer this question. Because we dealt with this issue time and time again when we were doing the adult Q sorting.
Like, you mean like when it's silence and the therapist just sits with it rather than prompting it? Kind of prompting
right. Mm-hmm. If a child doesn't say anything, and clearly there's an opportunity for the therapist to be encouraging of the child's speech, and the therapist doesn't take that opportunity, mm-hmm. just sits there, so you have two people basically just sitting in silence, nothing going on, that's when you put this item in pile 1. Mm-hmm. But if the therapist is not really using that technique, but the child is basically able to carry on a conversation and contribute to the dialogue, then you probably put this item in pile 2, pile 3, maybe pile 4, something like that. But the pile 1 is reserved for those instances where the child could be clearly encouraged and the therapist is not taking taking up the child on that offer. Does that make sense?
Would you say that if the therapist at one point, like, you know, tries to include the child in the first place, let's say with Laura, if she would to try in the beginning and then the kid just doesn't give in, and so she, like, gives up
right.
at one point, would you go, like, 2 or 3, like, give up without the child?
Yeah, because she did make some effort, but was it, the question you have to ask yourself is, was it characteristic or not of the session? And if she gave up after the first 2 or 3 minutes, I would say that's probably not characteristic of the session. It's also in relation to all the other items. You know, you got to be thinking always about where it fits in the rank ordering of all these items. Not to some universal standard of how children and therapists should act, right? Make sense? Laura, you still seem like you're mulling this over.
No, I was thinking that's really helpful. I was remembering that the card I get this one confused with is the one you brought up, which
53?
Is like encourages information or elaboration. Therapist encourages information or elaboration on the part of the child, or something like that. And I always get these two confused, but now I'm understanding a little bit more. When you gave examples, the types of questions that are more like open-ended or closed-ended or exploratory versus just
yeah,
kind of invitation.
I think the key distinction that you want to make is that the therapist intervention is solely designed to jumpstart the child. And it is the analog, I think, of that adult item. Therapist goes, mm-hmm, or what is that item?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same name, actually. Courage is speech or something.
Yeah, it's the same title, but then the examples are different.
Okay, all right.
And then, like, it makes sense because with a child, you wouldn't go,
like, says, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you just, like,
like while they're lying on the couch.
This kind of doesn't work.
Right. So, obviously, in the adult therapy situation, if a therapist is talking, asking questions, that doesn't count for that item. It's only the therapist who kind of like does the mm-hmm, yeah, okay, just to facilitate the flow of the conversation. So that's the, I think, the intent of this item, to capture those moments when the therapist just wants to jumpstart the conversation, get it going or keep it going.
So Laura, that other one, would you say that's characteristic of your sessions or not?
I would say that one's also characteristic, but I'm understanding like the questions are different. Like at the very beginning of that session being like, oh, you thought I said oh, is maybe this one, whereas something like, oh, can you tell me a little bit more about this family? Might be more like asking for elaboration or information, because it's more
right.
direct.
It's more
question.
Specific.
It's not a yes or no question, but it's more direct.
It's exploratory.
Exploratory.
Yeah. How does the person feel, or how do you feel?
Yeah.
So we got that?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, so I would say Giacomo and Dustin nailed that one.
I nailed one of them.
What else? What other? Do we want to just go through and see where there are big discrepancies, or do you guys have specific questions about specific items? We could do either one.
Question on
53. All right. Child conveys awareness of own internal difficulties.
See, the thing is, because it says it expresses through play, and isn't play inherently unconscious?
Well, it's not unconscious, right? The meaning of the play might be unconscious.
How would that demonstrate his own internal difficulty, like, oh, like, this is me and I'm really sad, like, like that?
No, that would be, I think that would be too explicit.
Right.
Let's say the child plays with a dollhouse and there's a baby that's born, and the child in the play doesn't want the baby, so he flushes the baby down the toilet in the play. That shows, I think, a conflict. Is it, how aware is the child of the conflict? Well, aware enough that it's being expressed in play, but aware, but is it aware in the sense that the person's consciously aware that he wants his baby brother to die? No.
Also, what about in this past video with the kid, you know, dying and the baby, like that whole situation?
Well, let's go to the videotape. No.
So what you're saying then is, like, awareness would mean something like if he all of a sudden stopped and got some insight, like, and that's also tied up to that, you know, achieves new insight card, right? If he just sort of turned to me and said, hey, wait a second, like, I'm
this is about me and my family.
Yeah, would that, is that sort of, that would be awareness of internal difficulties if it sort of, like, dawned on him that...
Well, you know, that would be like, that would be like
the highest
exactly.
level.
But this is, this is
that, but.
If child verbalizes or expresses through play awareness of his difficulties or conflicts.
Okay.
I mean,
it doesn't have to be said.
I think this is actually an item that I need to consult with Celeste on.
Yeah, what would it look like in play? Because we know what it would look like verbally.
Right. Well, the question is whether conflicts expressed in play automatically count toward this item or not.
Yeah, definitely right, wasn't it?
But then...
What I'm arguing is that, yes, there is a certain level of awareness, otherwise they wouldn't even come up and play. Mm-hmm. There would be no awareness at all. Exactly. So it's kind of pre-conscious, mm-hmm. but how aware is the child? No, there are conflicts that emerge in play about which the child really has no, what we would call, what we would typically think of as awareness of, you know. Like if you told this child, you know, you really want to get rid of your brother, would he say to you, oh yeah, you're right, yeah, I never thought of that, or would he say you're full of crap, you know? Or would he just ignore you?
He would just ignore you.
Yeah, run out the door. I gotta go to the bathroom now. I really gotta go. You know, so I have to ask Celeste what her intent was in this item. Whether it captures verbal play that might not really be fully conscious. What's going on? So I need to find out from her what her intention was.
And I think, like, this also is related to the one about insight. Because with adults, it's pretty clear as well, because, you know, when somebody has an insight, it's, like, evident. Like, they say something. But with kids, I think I was always kind of indecisive about the idea. I was like, I don't know. Like, it was, like, one time, like, not this week, like, last week, when he said something about, like, you said, like, so do you think that's the case? And he said, like, kind of like showed like he somewhat agreed, but then like switched to something else. Would that be inside? Like, kids don't, I mean, I don't picture a kid saying like, yeah, that maybe is because my mom and that, you know, it's like, I don't think it's gonna happen. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I would guess a general affirmation of what the therapist is saying, as long as you get a sense that the child is not just complying with whatever the therapist is saying, if there's a genuine sense when the patient says, yeah, I agree, or whatever, that's really coming from the patient, then that would count, I would think. Do you know the number of that item?
I just thought about it now.
I was wondering, with child psychotherapy, I don't have much experience with this, but do they know why, I was wondering if he really understands, like, what the situation is, why he's there, and what he,
there's a card for that too, of course.
Because, I mean, I guess with an adult, they're so, you know, they're the reason why they're there. you know, they go to therapy usually for a reason, whereas a kid might just think that his parents are dropping him off at, like, you know,
some babysitting.
Well, you know, some patients really wonder about why they're there, and that usually is talked about, like, near the beginning of the treatment. Mm-hmm. And I guess we did that. I'm assuming we did.
Yeah, definitely on the first day.
But
I
the patients...
Them, you know, like, do you know why your parents brought you here today? Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, the child can forget, though.
When he said he didn't know, I told him what their concerns were.
It sounds like he, you know, looks forward to when being when he said he's not going to be very happy about not coming back. Seems like, you know, he goes there looking, you know, he doesn't see it as like, as an adult might see therapy, I feel like.
Seldom do children
view
that situation as an adult.
That's pretty rare. Like, I have another client who's 8, and he told me last week, I want to stop counseling. So we talked about why. But that's rare for a kid to be, like, so invested in, like, his treatment that he would even, like, you know, call it that. Or and I think it depends on what the parents are sharing with the kid. Like, I don't think these parents really talk to him much about therapy day or what therapy means. But I think my other kid, I think he hears a lot about what counseling is, what he shouldn't be talking about in counseling. I think it depends on.
Like, if parents are in therapy and they talk about it all the time, like, my therapist says this and that,
too,
the kid might pick off that stuff and start talking about, oh, today my therapist told me that, you know, I think too much about that.
Yeah.
All right, the item is 32, and a characteristic session would include a child who somehow gives assent to the fact that they see something differently than they had seen before. So, you know, Laura says, you know, maybe some part of you feels angry at your brother for taking away, you know, your mom's attention from you. Yeah, I do sometimes feel angry at my brother. That's an achieved insight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you have to set the bar a little lower for children than you would for adults, and that's sort of your point, is sort of it looks a little different.
It looks a little, it's like not as evident.
It's pretty small with kids.
Now what if he said, oh yeah, I'm real angry at my brother. What would you do with that?
It depends. Like, it could be a lot more, like, you know. But it's not inside, like, he knew already, he says he's there.
He's also mocking the person. He's mocking the therapist.
That's exactly right.
If he's mocking.
Shoshana got it. I'm mocking
the
therapist. I'm making fun.
Oh.
Which
obviously
shows no insight.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, I'm real
like
angry at my brother.
Oh, like, I don't really know what you're saying. Like, you're crazy or something.
Exactly. Okay. See, now, he's giving assent. He's saying the words.
But it's not.
Yeah, I'm really angry at my brother, but you have to listen to the tone in which he's saying them. He's being very sarcastic, which suggests he has not gained the insight. He's mocking the therapist.
But it, like, what the way I got it wrong, but like in that way, like if you would say something like, "Yeah, I know I'm really angry at my brother, but that's not the point." Like
that would not count as an insight.
That would not, right? Because he's like,
but it's dismissing.
It's dismissing
it. He's being dismissive of the insight that was just given to him through the interpretation. Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What other items?
I realize I actually, I never did it, but I put a 9 where I would definitely put a 1.
What?
So I really probably screwed stuff up.
Put me as cold and unfeeling instead of
Wow! Maybe there were some unconscious feelings going on there.
Although that's a really good point that I, you know.
Or maybe that was that's a reaction formation.
Not think about my feelings because I'm not looking through all this anymore.
Maybe that's a reaction formation. Maybe he feels the exact opposite.
Better.
It's like, about dynamic like interpretation. We can do it both ways. Depending on what we like better. Oh, the one that you mixed up, or or the one.
Oh, his therapist is non-responsive to the child. I put a 9. But actually,
snap.
I did that a couple weeks ago. I put something in like 1 instead of 9. Like that's like a big.
I wonder if my numbers are. Can you always tell if there's a diff if you don't put the right amount in a certain number?
Yeah, I could do that right now.
Oh, no, actually. I don't need to know exactly. I'm just saying, does it...
No, it would take a second.
In Excel, you can
I don't
check.
Think it would be able to calculate. Mm-hmm. Oh, no,
you can do, like,
oh,
find
yeah.
And... Oh, so you do, like, find and...
And you, like, find 8, and that's how many...
Oh,
8 is
located
well, 8 times.
I count them before. Like, when I write them down on the sheet of paper, I, like...
That's correct.
Right.
Oh, wait. 8, 12, 16, 18,
12.
Wait a minute, that's
one twice.
There's no one pile.
Yeah, there's no one pile.
There's 10 cards and 9 and 0 and 1.
Exactly. You put. Surprising you got as high reliability as you did.
I put all my ones in.
You put all your ones in the 9 pile.
And I did it. That's so weird.
That's a first.
All you.
Huh.
Wow, imagine.
In 2 years, that's the first time.
I wish I
had. I think you probably won the day if you had done it.
Wow, if you'd actually.
That's so weird.
You would have scored the highest of anybody.
Yeah.
That's why there's no one pile, which Laura found.
When I sorted the first time, I had no one pile. Like, I had to shift everything down because I, like, there weren't any items that I thought were, like, especially uncharacteristic the first time when I sorted it into the 9 piles for the first time. So everything sort of had to shift. It was a weird sort for me. I don't know. Maybe that's what happened to you and things got screwed.
Well, I'll tell you what I do when I Q-sort and then is I use a coding sheet.
Yeah,
and that's really there's no way you can make a mistake like that.
Yeah.
If you're
but
using
I think like what
well,
I
yeah,
picture
I
happening is like you
them.
Did it right in the coding sheet, but then maybe when you start doing it, you start from this end and your brain thinks end, and so things like 9, but it's a 1, and then what you go down the other end, and then it's 9 again. Something.
I guess that's possible. Is that do you use the coding sheet?
I don't use the sheet. I actually have them lined up like this. I go pile 1, I enter pile 2, enter pile 3.
Hmm.
It's so weird.
Well, maybe you should start using a coding sheet. I have a digital copy on my website.
Okay.
So on the CPQ website. Huh?
So maybe I was tired. I don't know. That's so weird.
So you're
you know, if you want to resend me your distribution,
okay.
And I'll redo the calculate the correlations. And I can send you a copy of it.
Okay.
Like, yeah, even if those 10 are still mixed up as 9s,
I mean,
that, like, if you
it,
looked
yeah.
at those 10s, you would pretty
yes.
easily
oh, yeah.
be able to say
oh,
what's
yeah.
supposed
no
to be
no question about it.
So far from. You would, like, sort it all.
I'll do that.
Watch, you'll get all 7s.
Nice.
All right, what else? Did we talk, we
oh,
finished
yeah.
talking about... Oh, it's 12.
Yeah,
okay.
12 is another one that always kind of confuses me when I sort myself because I'm not really sure which of these fits or either.
Well, that word modeling is very, it's a red herring.
What is
the therapist models unspoken or unelaborated emotions.
Is that one?
Well, you know, the way I'm reading this,
I can see it's something like he goes, says something.
This is
like, oh,
this has to do with
really
self-disclosure, I think, of affect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's like an authentic self-disclosure?
Yes.
Oh, see, I saw it.
I feel sad.
Way, that you're guessing at how they're feeling or you're trying to put words to their affect, so you're taking on the affect yourself.
That's what
I
was picturing it.
you're modeling it, even if you're not feeling it. But
I feel sad too when you tell me about your dead pet. I mean, I'm doing it sarcastically.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, it could be authentic, but I read it as like when they describe it without feeling. So basically, you're putting, you're sort of lending them your.
That doesn't include like the therapist saying, "Oh, that must really be sad," or something like that. You know, in like a tone.
No, that's more. That's more of, I think you were. I think you're sad. I think you feel sad. That must really make you feel sad.
This is when the therapist is saying, I feel sad.
Yeah, I think so.
I would feel sad.
What if, like, it in this video, what about, like, when I took on the character of the mother and said, you know, my son has died, and I, you know, tried to convey, you know, a certain
But you're not, it, so. That's not your affect.
No,
that's
no,
not your
playing the character.
That wouldn't count.
Okay.
That's
what is
that's in the play.
I got all
like the part when you said it's a little scary being away from mom when you did like the kid role.
Mm.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's true. Well,
you're so you're not modeling. You're I mean you could argue that you're modeling in the play, but you, Laura, are not modeling those emotions.
Okay.
Because you're not really wanting them.
So it's really
you, Laura, as the mother
yeah.
in the mother role. In the player modeling those emotions, but you yourself are not modeling those emotions.
Okay. All right, so characteristic is really reserved for like me saying I'm feeling, and
yeah.
whether it's authentic or not, I guess that's sort of irrelevant. It's more
that's
like
right.
I would have to be very clear. About
and
that.
Okay,
then I don't.
You're never going to do that under my supervision. So.
Yeah, and I got confused reading this too because I'm like, well, you know, sometimes in dynamic therapy you might want to like convey. An affect, you know, with your body if they're not sort of, I wanted to say appropriately, but that's not a very dynamic word.
See, I would do something like this. I would say, you know, it's interesting you're not crying when you just told me about your pet.
You would give it a sort of an explanatory or like a
yeah.
naming what you see you doing. Okay. Yeah.
You know, your grandmother just died and you got a big smile on your face. I don't understand.
Okay.
The discrepancy there.
And this
that's
one,
more. That's more Kernbergian.
What if you said like, I think that's it. Like you said, you're smiling. I think that's sad. Does that count? Mm.
I think that's sad.
That's more, I guess, ideation.
Yeah.
Like you're saying that. You
yeah, I guess that would still fall into the category of uncharacteristic.
Uncharacteristic.
Because you're not really modeling the emotion.
Okay. Just saying.
You're just saying you're as unelaborated as the patient. In describing your own emotional state.
So how often would this actually happen?
Well, with my supervisees, never.
I wouldn't think it.
But you know, if you're in the relational school, you know, or the intersubjective
yeah.
school, like a Beatrice Beebe school,
yeah.
you know, this would be in the characteristic piles all the time, every session, because mm-hmm. they really believe in that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, that's true. That's true. Like those of you who are working, who will be working under Dr. Kiesner, that's what he asks his supervisees to do a lot. It's, you know, really authentically say how they're feeling in the moment, do a lot of self-disclosure, so.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, well, that gives me sort of a reference point to think about this.
So this would be the child equivalent of what Kiesner has his mm-hmm. supervisees doing.
But yeah, that's exactly what
it says. When addressing the child's emotional state. So how is that addressing the child's emotional state as opposed to...
I guess the idea would be to, like, help the child get more into...
Well, and also if
what
the...
You think it should be doing.
I mean, I work with patients all the time, and they're doing or saying something that makes me sad, and I feel sad, but I'm not going to share that. But Kiesner would say, share it. And the relational school would say, share it. That makes me sad. I feel like crying. So that is a school of thought. I don't adhere to that, but that is a school of thought.
But isn't there another item that says that a therapist not discloses?
That's more of a general item, I think.
Like, oh, I'm mad.
That's like,
just
oh,
like,
that's my favorite song, too.
Oh,
or something like that.
My dog died, too. I know what that's like. I had a cat that died. But this is specifically related to modeling emotions that the child is not experiencing. This is a more, I think, more of a specific item.
But, I mean, so if you put a word there, it wouldn't count. Like, if you say something like, if the child says something like, well, I'm sad because my dog died, and you say, well, I would be sad too if my dog had died, that would count as well?
Or wouldn't that be?
No, because you're not modeling.
Yeah, like that it's understandable that you're sad.
That's just empathy?
Yeah, it's more empathy. Right.
Well, on this note then I was confused about if it was self-disclosure when I said I'm going to be sad about ending our sessions too.
That's what I took, yeah.
And so I actually put self-disclosure in like, I think I put it in like 6 or something. I still kept it in the middle because I wasn't like, oh, you know, I think this, you know, it wasn't like a blatant self-disclosure, but it was a self-disclosure of emotion.
But that was your truth.
It was not.
Well, he said, I feel sad.
He said, I'm going to feel not so happy about it. And I said, me too. I'm not going to be so happy about it either. We've done a lot.
All right, so that, I mean, he's already shared the emotion, so you're not taking an emotion that you think he should be feeling and then expressing it on his behalf, which is what this item, I think, is trying to get at.
That would be the more than
that would be self-disclosure, but it wouldn't be modeling.
It's not like a blatant.
Yeah. Now, if this kid says, oh, we're ending? Big deal.
Yeah.
And you said, well, that makes me really upset. I feel really sad about that. Yes. That's modeling.
Yeah. But would you trying to get him to that emotion right. that you think that
right. it's
be.
It's, you know, from my point of view, it's a form of coercion, mm-hmm. but that's just where I'm coming from.
But in that instance, wouldn't it kind of fall into both broad categories? Like,
oh, yeah, it could. They're overlapping.
Yeah, right.
There are definitely overlapping items. No question about it. So what do we had Leia in 3, Laura in 8, Giacomo 7, Shoshana 2, Dustin 9. I would agree with Shoshana's rating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That might be one of the cards that's sort of messing with the dynamic CBT issue that we've been talking about too, because mm-hmm. I've been putting that item high. I think I misunderstood that.
Yeah, and again, what would constitute putting this item in pile 1?
I missed the opportunity, basically.
Let's say the child says, "Ah, oh, yeah, my grandmother died. I went out and played baseball with my friends after I found out. You know, no big deal." And then the therapist doesn't respond in any way, shape, or form to model, then it goes in 1.
I guess maybe.
And that's repeatedly goes on where the mm-hmm. patient presents opportunities for modeling. Obviously, they're not in touch with their emotional life, and the therapist passes up those opportunities. That's when you want to consider 1.
Well, wouldn't it be in 5, though, for that item? Because it's pretty clear on that uncharacteristic means that you still respond, but in an opposite way. I know most of the cards are like that, that 1 is sort of the absence of something, but I think this card...
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
So in this case, in this card, the absence of something would be more like a 5, but that's
exactly.
usually not the case.
Exactly. Absence in this case is a 5. You're right. Okay.
So which one did you agree with some more? More like a 2 or a 3?
The 2.
Okay.
Shoshana's reading.
All right.
So what would be the response to this for it to be characteristic to that baseball grandmother?
I guess I was thinking that a lot of things used to occur.
I feel really upset hearing that news. That makes me really sad.
To hear about the grandmother completely ignoring the fact that's ridiculous that you want to go do that.
Yeah.
And he said if you don't do anything, it's a...
What's that?
If you don't say anything and you go like, you want to play baseball. Is that fine? Is that
then it's in 5. You
that's
put it
in
pile
five.
5. Neutral. You neither explained the emotion nor did you model it.
So the opposite of explaining it. Like
would be modeling it.
No, the opposite of modeling is explaining.
Is explaining it. Like, that must make you feel sad, or maybe you're trying to defend against your sad feelings by playing baseball.
All right. Okay.
Try to explain the reaction that you just observed, the crazy reaction you just got from this kid.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Okay.
And so I just thinking, like, in the same case, if the therapist gets the five in here, because he says, like, oh, it was playing baseball fun or something like that, like, then the other card we were talking about earlier about the therapist encouraging the child, that gets a one.
Yeah, if the child presents opportunities to be encouraged, let's say they're quiet a lot of the session, and the therapist also is quiet, doesn't really try to encourage the patient to draw him or her out of his or her shell.
I'm just trying, like, to draw.
So lets them sit there. You know, like, that would be like a one.
Okay, but like if the. So that would, like, I'm just trying to draw a connection with this one. Like, if the patient says, like, about the baseball thing, and the therapist says, like, goes along with the baseball, it would also be like a one, a nine into strength and defenses, right? Because if I, like, let you go with you not thinking about your grandma at all.
Or, well, if I said, you know, it's good not to think about your grandmother. Playing baseball probably is a
good way.
Is a good way to cope with it.
Because that sounds kind of like opposite action, which is sort of like a more like CBT or DBT concept, when, like, you would encourage someone to do the opposite of what they're feeling or to take their mind off something, would be strengthening the defenses.
Okay.
If you're thinking, if you even believe in defenses, if you're thinking from that point of view, you think it would strengthen the defenses.
By the way, I didn't say this at the beginning of our coding team meeting together, but if you guys just want a kind of a general overview of child psychotherapy process, like all this what we're talking about, the best place to go would be the book that the creator of this Q-Sword wrote called Therapeutic Action, copyright 2000 by Jason Aronson, and it's really outstanding. Now, that's not written from a child point of view. It's written from an adult.
Are you talking about Avalon? No.
No, Enrico Jones?
Jones, yeah.
Is that what I said, or did I say somebody different?
No, but when you said creator of the Q-Sword, I'm like, there's a book by Celeste Schneider that
you haven't given me.
But this is the one by Jones.
Yeah, Enrico Jones. So it's not specifically child-focused, but a lot of the same issues are discussed in that book that we're dealing with this Q-Sword. Because this Q-Sword is directly modeled after the adult Q-Sword.
It's Psychotherapy Process by Jones.
Yeah. Wait, the title is Therapeutic Action.
Oh, Action. I totally missed the Psychotherapy Process.
So Jason Aronson is not...
Is the publisher.
It's really expensive.
How much is it?
In the 60s, 70s.
We can get it at the library.
Jesus, I'm surprised. 60 or 70.
Are you coming? Yes, coming.
We have supervision at 6 and therapy at 7 as usual. You have the group?
Well, yeah. I have to go get some stuff.
Is this party. Now your last day?
Yeah, finally.
These are like, they were supposed to be done 3 weeks ago, and then, like, they...
What? They want more therapy?
They decided they wanted one more.
So just do use that self-disclosure technique. Damn, I'm glad this is done.
I really hope you guys don't come for any more.
Because we're really done with this. I was already feeling done and you guys came back. So I'm
really angry with you. Try that. All right, so if you want to email me a revised distribution, I'll plug it back in.
I'll do that.
All right, thanks.
So what Sarah told me is that as graduate students, we can take books out of the library for
what?
What library? I think any of our...
Oh, like public libraries?
No, the LIU.
Oh.
Well, we can't.
Like, she, like, took, like, the book for, like, one of our classes. She took it out of the library. And then
Mariam's done that. Like, she's gotten, like, class textbooks and kept it all semester, but I assume she just kept renewing it.
You can
call a number to renew it or send an email or something else.
Olivia's gotten textbooks from, normal libraries.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm going to try and do that next
That'd
year.
That'd be real savings.
It's a lot of savings. It's like this year books were quite a bit.
Or some compulsive about it, and I'm like, I have to buy it, because what if I need it at some point during my career?
You can buy it then when you have more money.
Textbook is nice to have, though.
I know.
I'm
unable to resell. I thought I was going to resell all my books, but each one I'm like, I'm going to need this later.
I feel the same way, but, like, you know, last semester for me was kind of, like, hard. I mean, for one class, we had like 4 books to buy, and it was like,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I only read. We had 4 books.
Oh yeah,
to buy.
I didn't even use any of this.
We did, mm-hmm. but we bought them. So it's like, you know, mm-hmm. they're interesting. But like the day that I need them, when I am actually working with a patient, like then I'm actually making money. I can maybe buy the book then. Mm-hmm. You know, like now. So, I mean, I would have bought the Rorschach or
definitely
something like that.
Definitely keep your extra Rorschach book.
Yeah, definitely, like, that kind of stuff, like, some other more...
You later class with Marshall, and if you do any Rorschach
field,
you'll never remember.
But I know, like, it's always a thing, like, even this one, like, I want to buy everything, but then, like, you know.
I'm a big...
I always try to get the
compulsive book buyer.
Yeah, they're used books.
Yeah.
These textbooks, a lot of the time,
yeah.
even used, are very expensive.
They're, like, $80.
Like,
yeah.
this one was in the 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
At least
wow.
last
so
night when I was
looking.
You're looking at this last
time
before you
any
left.
Other items?
Those were my only specific questions.
Anybody want to look at videotape? Laura finds this very helpful, by the way.
Yes, it's like
is
free
it?
Supervision. I get like free like group supervision
right.
from like so many perspectives. It's nice.
So you're done with the child? Like, cause I mean, I didn't watch the last video, but...
No, we're going to have a few more sessions.
Was
actually,
it 3 more?
Yeah, we're going to have 3 more sessions.
Yeah.
So have we seen all the ones that you've had in
there? Well, we're up to session 30 now. So you've seen, like, the more recent ones.
Okay.
But actually, I'm going to throw some sort of different ones into the mix because he's going to be out for the next 2 weeks, so you guys are going to get ones from who knows when. So,
because in this one,
you'll really have
comment.
To look at it in its own context and forget about the rest, even though you're supposed to do that anyway. But you know,
well, you said, oh, do you remember what we were talking about before? And I don't think that you actually said anything about termination in the 2 or 3 that we saw. So, like, this definitely can't be.
Oh,
no, she was referring
to the beginning.
Beginning
of the session. The
beginning of treatment.
But so it wasn't a very effective way to wrap up the session. I kind of wish I had wrapped it up differently. But yeah, I was referring to that we had talked about it right at the beginning of that session.
So,
but that was the first time we really talked about termination. So it was like a productive, I'd say it was a productive session in that he actually responded to my asking about it. He could have just ignored me, so...
Yeah, he had some real body language when he was trying to say. He's
yeah.
not going to be so happy about it. And then he turned around. He, like, he was kind of like, I don't know, I thought he was like having trouble like conveying that
Absolutely.
Feeling. He just
yeah.
had to turn his back totally towards you and just like...
You know. Let's go to the videotape.
Thank you for that insight. There's so much that I miss when I'm like, crap, what am I going to say next? Crap, what
That's
did Jeff
the
say
end,
when
right?
someone said this to him?
No,
what did Jeff tell me to
right
do?
Right at the beginning?
Yeah, I've brought it up right now. But most of the time I am.
Is that below the
Oh,
you thought it, I said, uh-oh, like something bad
happened? Yeah. Oh my goodness, I wonder what bad could have happened.
Dustin's having a real
kind of Well, I wanted to talk reaction. To you about something first before we play today.
Sure.
I wanted to ask you if you remembered what I said about that at the end of July, we're ending our time together.
Yes, I remember.
You remember? And I told you, I don't know if I told you very much about it, but I wanted to tell you a little bit more about that. That we have about 5 more times left that we're going to see each other, and then you're going to have a break in August, and you're not going to come for therapy in August. And actually, you're not going to see me anymore. Because it's kind of like I'm going on to the next grade. You know how you're going to go to second grade next year?
Yeah.
So I'm going on to the next grade too, kind of. Like, it's almost like I'm going to the next grade up just like you are. But actually what that means is that we're not going to see each other anymore. I was wondering if you had any feelings about that.
I don't feel so happy about
that. Not so happy?
He's clearly
very uncomfortable. I think that's
what does that mean, not so happy?
It's
like
he doesn't like being
uncomfortable.
His whole facial expression has changed.
I want him to feel happy. He won't feel happy when we say goodbye. It'll be hard, and it'll be hard for me too. We've done a lot of work together here. We've talked about a lot of things that are very important things. And we've kind of changed together too in some ways. And it will be sad to say goodbye.
But he's listening. A lot of the times I think he's not listening.
And I wanted to let you know that so that you know that in advance. And so when things change, it's not such a surprise. So it's something that you know is changing.
You know, he's listening, but the general attitude is I'm going to ignore what you're saying.
I also wanted to ask, because you seemed a little bit sad and a little bit distant the last couple times you were here.
I think that's minimizing.
And I wondered if you had thought about that too. About what? Well, I thought a lot about how you were kind of sad in the last couple times, and you didn't really talk much.
I think it was because of we're saying goodbye.
You think it was because we're saying goodbye? I thought maybe it was because of that too. I thought maybe you were expressing those feelings kind of even earlier than actually saying goodbye. Those feelings were coming out early. It is a sad thing. And you were really feeling
it. Said it is a sad thing. You were feeling it.
How are you
said,
feeling today?
I feel sad. You didn't.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a good say it before. I didn't say it was bad for you today. But that wasn't about this.
Okay, that's okay. Sometimes it's hard to tell how we're feeling. We just need to express it in other ways.
The card that talks about engaging, like, child engaging with her, that's in play. So, like, he lets her play with him, but she's the one who initiates it. So, I don't.
I definitely put that one low, and I thought about the same thing. I was like, well, he tolerated my inserting myself into the play, but there have been times, but with him, it's even farther to you that he's actually invited me to play. Like,
right.
You'd know it when you saw it. He'd be like, oh, you know, why don't you do this?
He did that even once in one of the ones
that
we saw where
he
was like building the city or something.
Yeah.
How about the active card? Is he active? I mean, he is, right?
But he's not talkative. It said that moving and talkative. So he's not really talkative, but he moves a lot.
And then there's also cards like the one about him being anxious or sad, and the other ones of him being positive. I mean, I just was confused. Sometimes I feel like he is anxious and kind of sad, and then sometimes I feel like he's happy.
Well, if you feel that it's neither characteristic nor uncharacteristic of the session, it would go in the neutral piles.
Okay.
I think I put him as generally pretty calm and happy, but now that I'm thinking about that, I'm like, but am I thinking that in contrast to how he's been the last 3 weeks? Because I think it was really hard to look at this session and not contrast it with how anxious and sad he can be and can look. So,
I think that's what I was going
But to. If I looked at this kid and I'd never met him before, I might think he still has a pretty flat affect. And look at it objectively. He's not happy.
Right.
I mean, I've seen happy kids in therapy.
Right.
It looks different, so.
Yeah. I was definitely comparing
over
the last one.
Right.
He was a little happy at points, like he was smiling occasionally.
Yeah, animated too, and moving across the room a lot. Like, I have to move the video camera like every 5 minutes. And in the beginning of therapy, I never had to do that. He would like sit in one place and he would sort of like lecture me on what he was interested in. And it's great that he's moving around. I'd say that's pretty animated, but not so much so as
typical. But I wouldn't say he's cute. There's an item about being curious about what's going on in the room. Like, I agree with, like, the being active, but I usually don't put the curious in characteristic. I haven't seen this last session, but the previous ones. Because he doesn't seem, very interested in, like, he's, like, flat. So, would you?
But it talks about, like, being, like, using the things in the room or, like, doing different...
I generally think I'm a little curious.
I mean, if he's going around the room, he's picking up the dollhouse. Oh, this is interesting. Plays with it for a while. Then goes over to the blocks, plays with them, looks at them very curiously. Maybe goes to the sandbox, plays with the sandbox a while. I mean, he's curious about the different items in the room.
The previous sessions were like... Right,
thank you. I'd say he's more curious than not.
In this
in
one,
general.
But the ones you're talking about, I'd say no. When he sits there and he's pretty flat, I'd say that was like the absence of curiosity.
Does he know
when you're moving
the camera? Does he know when you're moving the camera?
He's never really said anything about it. Sometimes he'll look at the camera, like he'll notice that idea, but he doesn't seem bothered by it. And when we started therapy, I got verbal consent from him. I said, I'm videotaping this, but it's just so that I can, see what we're doing together. So, he's not super, other kids I wouldn't work with, because they'd be like, oh, let's make a movie, and they'd be super conscious of it, but he's doing more.
So he's not like shy at all.
If he were bothered by my moving the camera, I would think about not videotaping anymore if it was disrupting our sessions. I don't think it
would. So Kai, can I ask you, what was the verdict on the play one? That it doesn't matter that you're playing together because he wasn't initiating it? So it becomes uncharacteristic?
Which item number is that?
I think the item says very specifically child initiates play. Some cards
in which
like
case he would be uncharacteristic.
But it's in the description, it was saying, like that's the feeling of like him tolerating her playing and like acting in the role.
So you might not put it in a one, maybe like a four. Yeah, but he did see that. So I understand your question.
Did
respond to my play. Because there have been times when I've invited myself into the play and he just
that
looks
one?
At me and ignores me. So when I played, he replied back in a character's voice.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's child initiated.
But see here, it
actively includes. That means he's going for her to get her into the play with him. Actively includes.
Like here you be the mom.
Exactly. That's active.
So responding to her as, like,
that
acknowledging her response, like her character, and then playing along with that doesn't
matter. It might take it away
but
from one, though. It might take it more into two or three.
Yeah, maybe uncharacteristic, but it's still uncharacteristic. Maybe it's not a one, but.
His uncharacteristic, though, it says that he's. That he doesn't include the therapist in play, which he is including her.
But he organizes the play in such a way that excludes the therapist until she initiates. And then, sure, he'll include her, but it's only after she's initiated. So it's still uncharacteristic, I would say.
So it should always be in a situation like this, it would be a one or a two?
Mm-hmm. Or a three.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't put it in a one. Like, if a one would be, like, maybe, like, if I tried to get into the play and he ignored me. Because that's happened. Maybe it's more like a
play. Or he says, get away from here. I don't want you around my play.
Yeah, that's a pretty clear one.
That's like, yeah.
Get the hell out of here. All right.
Yep.
So, did you hand out CDs for people? Did Giacomo get one?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, guys. These should all be intact.
I'll let you know about the password.
Should I give Sarah
okay.
one?
Oh, are you going to see her?
It's likely.
Okay, yeah, great. Okay.
I mean, if you're going to 100%, but it's like, I'll give it to you.
No, she's fine. She's here. That would be really great. Until we figure out how to send it or put it on a website, trading CDs is an excellent idea.
Here you go, Laura.
Thank you.
So, I will be in the meeting again, because I'm flying out again.
What?
I'm in Italy for 3 weeks.
The end of the world for sure.
So,
all right.
I'm technically gone for 3 weeks.
Are you going to continue coding? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely code from there.
Okay.
It's like, I just...
Yeah, we might all have to join
you. Code from the Mediterranean?
I can code from the Mediterranean.